We can think of God as three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do this at the beginning of every Mass or every prayer. We do it when we dip our fingers in the holy water, hopefully. We end with the Trinity's blessing. We can think of God as one. We pray to the Father or to the Son or to the Holy Spirit. It is when we try to think of God as three in one, then the confusion and possibly the headaches start. This is a Sunday long dreaded by popes, priests, bishops, deacons, because heresy awaits around every corner. And maybe this is the best point to make in regard to our most holy triune God. If you and I can explain God, if we can put God into a category, like we can with the pews or the altar, both made of wood but distinct because of design, if we can do that, then this is not something other than, something to which could cause us the feeling of wonder or awe. If we can explain it easily, then this is not something to be worshipped or to pray or to praise. It is just something we've constructed. St. Augustine famously wrote a book, it's called The Trinity, De Trinitate in Latin, in which he used the scriptures to fashion a teaching. It's 700 pages, small print, has some marvelous insights, only to exclaim at the conclusion of this book that it was like trying to pour an ocean into a small depression in the sand, a task not possible for a human being, no matter how brilliant. He ends by saying, "This has been a spectacularly enjoyable failure. A failure that was enjoyed, that does not seem to connect. Until we examine the motivation of one of our most intellectual, one of our greatest converts, one of the most courageous bishops, a doctor, a saint. He entered into the deepest prayer and meditation with the Word of God, studying and enjoying the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. Because, brothers and sisters, this relationship which we are given to believe by faith, not by sight, requires of us a participation of prayer and sacrifice in imitation of the God who created us, and an acceptance that until we finally rest in God, there will be an incompleteness, an imperfection in our understanding. Our readings invite us into this divine relationship, which we will confess in our creed, which is now 1,700 years old, but yet revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Our first reading from Proverbs seeks to make a very important aspect of the faith we confess very prime. God as God is revealed. Before all things were, God is. Before all things, God was, is, will ever be. That very concept is beyond our comprehension. We know that as created beings, there was a time when we weren't, and there will be a time when we cease to be on earth. We watch it play out in nature, the flowers and the grass and the plants now growing at full bloom, responsible for this voice I bring to you this evening. In a few short months, we will watch the leaves fall and the grass grow from green to brown. What a marvelous design and a reminder as each season passes. And yet God remains unchanged. Always active. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, the Word of God who took on human flesh from the spotless Virgin Mary and became the fulfillment of all the forerunners, the prophets' writings, the psalmist's hymns, fully divine and fully human, who came into the divine plan to raise our mortal bodies to be like His in glory, and who had to do this. Because what Jesus did not take on, He could not save. He had to conquer even death itself. And He had to ascend to heaven so that the third person, the Advocate, the Paraclete, proceeding from the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, could be given to us, the baptized. And the Trinity, dwelling within us now, seeks to lead us to glorify God by praise and worship, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all that we encounter by how we live our lives. And in not leaving us abandoned, Jesus Christ crucified spilled all of His blood and water that we may be nourished and fed by His body and blood, baptized by that water for as long as the time of the church continues. A church founded upon Christ, who left it to Peter as Pope, his apostles as bishops, to continue to administer the sacraments he instituted for his grace to be outpoured on all who believe, for his word and example to be a treasury of the teachings of the church, guaranteed by the Holy Spirit, working through the Pope and the bishops in unison, taught by men, priests, deacons, religious brothers, lay people, women, religious sisters, teachers, mystics, all those called to religious life that give of themselves for the betterment of the young, the poor, the elderly, for his mercy to be administered through the charity brought to the poor by so many of these same men and women, selfless service down through the centuries, and up to this day, in schools, hospitals, shelters, food pantries, the list goes on and on. This action of the Spirit, alive and well in our world, calling to young men and women to see through the vacant ideologies the world continues to perpetrate, packaging them to be an escape, to be a life of comfort. But the Holy Spirit to call these young men and women to put themselves aside and answer the call of the Trinity to serve God and His creation. Because Jesus Christ, the divine Son, never promised us comfort, but He did promise glory for following that narrow path. The action of the Spirit calling many men and women in this church tonight to bring the gifts the Spirit has bestowed on them, whether it be fervent prayer, serving the poor in our community, organizing fellowship in our parish, bringing those to bear for God's glory. And in this plan, always at work, God gives us the freedom to say yes or say no. Yes to follow the commandments. Yes to live out the Beatitudes. Yes to take in the teachings of the church on faith and morals developed and maintained by the church, guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Yes to accepting the sacraments faithfully. Yes to acknowledging that we are sinners, all of us, and then we are in need of the mercy that only God can provide in the sacrament of reconciliation. As we prepare in just a moment to pray this Nicene Creed, 1700 years old, developed entirely to confess the truths revealed in the sacred scriptures, that there is one God, three persons, a relationship, that we have been invited to confess this faith with our whole heart, mind, and soul. When we pray it, a prayer we know by heart. Some of us have prayed hundreds, if not thousands, of times. Let us remember what it is we are saying yes to. The faith in the Father who sought us, His Son Jesus Christ who bought us, and in the Holy Spirit who has taught us.